as I fall off my chair, and I'm wondering how I get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with
you. We are so happy to be stuck in the middle with you here on the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. Of course, we're talking about the middle of the NFL season as week 9 is upon us. I'm your host, Jason Logan. And that tune infamously tied to the chair scene from Reservoir Dogs. Del, you ever seen Reservoir Dogs?
I have not. You always ask me this, but I've never seen any of the movies you asked me about.
Oh, my God. You got to go see it. It's a Tarantino special, man. But
I've heard of it. I've just never seen it.
It's a lot of fun. We're going to be a little nicer to your ear than Mr. Blonde was as we get you ready for betting week 9 of the NFL season. And we've been pretty kind to your pocket as well here with the podcast, with another week of winning picks, including some nice plus money props, including one from you, Dell. Where does that put us on the season?
I believe we're 37-26. I think we're 11 picks over 500. So we're making people money. We're keeping people happy, and we're making some money for ourselves. So everyone's happy.
Haven't canceled us yet. So
not yet.
Still here, still trucking. It's pretty good considering like November and December, those are two very tricky months of the NFL season to get through. Hopefully we stay in the black as we go forward. And before we get started here, a reminder, as I always do, please, if you like the podcast, if you've been betting those picks and you like them, rate and review the Sharp 600. Let us know that you like it. Let other people know that you like it. Greatly appreciate it. Helps us reach a lot of other sports bettors. With that out of the way, another 600 seconds on the clock, please.
Let's ride, baby.
Russ. All right, let's ride. Week 9 odds have been on the board for about 48 hours now. And here are some of the more notable line moves to know, starting with Arizona instantly sinking from -3 to -2.5 on Sunday night, and then slimming to as low as -1.5 at respected online books hosting the Seahawks in that big divisional dance. The Kansas City Chiefs, they climbed from -11 to as high as -13 for a Sunday night showdown with Tennessee. Now, some buyback on the Titans has this one down around -12.5 at many books. Quarterback Ryan Tannehill, the question mark after missing week 8 with an ankle injury and illness. It kind of looked like he was ready to go last week, and then he was held out. And Coach Vrabel being very coy with his status right now. I think it's a little bit of gamesmanship hitting into a big primetime game. And, of course, we have Andy Reid coming off the bye week, 20-3 straight up, 15-8 ATS off the bye, going back to his first season in Philly back in 1999. Some other games with movement around key numbers. Now, the Colts and the Patriots, pro bettors came in, took Indy, moved this one from New England -6 to -5.5. The Vikings went from -3 to -3.5 at Washington, and Cincinnati down from 7.5 to 7, hosting Carolina after a bad outing from the Bengals on Monday against Cleveland. Now, those last two games that we just mentioned, Minnesota at Washington and Carolina at Cincinnati, they show up in my weekly spot bet article over on covers.com. And here's what you need to know as you factor situational angles into your handicapping. The letdown spot is Carolina after suffering what was a massive gut punch in that overtime loss to Atlanta. The Panthers, they had this game won. DJ Moore ties it up with 12 seconds left, then gets flagged for taking his helmet off in celebration. It pushes the PAT back 15 yards. And of course, Carolina goes on and misses it. The game goes into the extra frame. The Falcons win. Nasty and tough to pick up the pieces after a loss like that, especially when you're just a lost soul team like Carolina right now. The Panthers play their second straight roadie, their third in 4 weeks against a Bengals team ready for a bounce back after that bad Halloween night showing. The look ahead spot goes to Minnesota, which rides a 5-game winning streak into the nation's capital. But for all that success, Minnesota not being considered among the NFL elite, and for good reason here. Just look at some of the quarterbacks that they've beat along the way. Now, I will say the week 8 win over Arizona, probably its best during this winning run. But they put that record to the test in week 10 when they visit the Buffalo Bills. So who could blame them for looking past the Commanders on the road this Sunday? And Washington quietly has won 3 in a row. Tyler Heinicke has this offense looking much better. Chase Young expected to make his season debut for a Washington defense that ranks out quietly number 7 in EPA allowed per play over the last 4 weeks. And the schedule spot for week 9 is a nasty one. Has the Green Bay Packers on the road for the third straight week and their fourth time in 5 weeks, including jumping the pond in that week 5 loss to the Giants in London. Green Bay, a 3-point road chalk in Detroit after being as high as -6.5 in the summer. Feeling the grind of this grueling schedule. And the Lions, they do not go down quietly at home here. 3-7 straight up, but 7-3 ATS as home underdogs under Dan Campbell. Now, a couple week nine picks that I made, put those out there Sunday night. I took the Eagles minus 13 right away, visiting the Texans, your Eagles, and believing the spread would go up. And it did. It jumped up to as high as minus 13.5. However, the market is kind of settled, sitting at minus 13 right now for this Thursday trip to Houston. But this is going to go back up. I expect that. We've seen action pile on late for Eagles games and has done so in each of the last three outings. It's pretty cut and dry, really, when you look at it. The Eagles just well out of the Texans' weight class on both sides of the ball. But while some may fear the unknown of these quirky midweek games, and we have seen weirdo results on Thursday Night Football, the Eagles did the bulk of game planning for Houston during their Week 7 bye. Nick Sirianni told the media their schemes, their prep, it's all pretty much done thanks to that week off. So they are ahead of schedule compared to most teams that play on a Thursday. So let's not overthink this here. Eagles minus 13. I also took the over in Dolphins and Bears on Sunday night. Now, this one jumped from 44.5 to as high as 45.5 on Sunday night. I bet over 45, knowing that the unpredictable Chicago weather could come back and bite me in the ass. And I said that right in the article. And it might here. Extended forecast for Chicago calling for wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour, which could ground two offenses doing some serious damage in recent weeks, and both Tua and Justin Fields near the top of the league in intended air yards per attempt. Miami-Chicago just cranking out the points here, but also giving up a ton as well. These defenses sit 23rd and 24th in EPA per play. The Bears just gutted their locker room. They traded away Robert Quinn, Roquan Smith, leaving this defense without some key veterans. The Windy City weather has this total down to 43.5. I think the potential for points is still very much there. You want to keep an eye on the forecast, but I like the over in this game. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, kind of midway mark of the NFL schedule, and as much as we like to look ahead on the show, and that's all we do really, let's take stock of what we saw in the first half and what we didn't see, what I got right and what I didn't get right. And one team that I haven't been right on at all, the Seattle Seahawks. This is a team that was projected by many, including myself, to flirt with the worst record in the NFL. But here we are, Seahawks 5-3 straight up and ATS, despite writing an NFL underdogs column each week. I've either not taken them as dogs or faded them as favorites, and they've just bitten me in the butt every time. But this is a team that is number 6 in team DVOA at Football Outsiders. This defense may not be as bad as we believed. But November is tough for the Seahawks. 3 of 4 away from home, including the Germany game against the Bucks. They get a bye in week 11. This is a team with a plus 5.3 scoring margin at Lumen compared to minus 2.5 on the road. So a tough November ahead. Jacksonville Jaguars was a team that I was high on, especially with that combo of Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence, hoping to see the year 2 QB kind of blossom out of the Urban Meyer mess. And it looked like he was doing that for about 3 weeks. And then the wheels came off the bus. The turnover troubles have returned. The completion rate is down. He's ranked out worst or among the worst QBs in many advanced metrics since week 4. And what's worse, he still has a complement of great skill players around him. It's really tough. And the Jags have played against and lost to a lot of weirdo first half teams, Denver, New York, Indy, Washington, and now the sked really gets tough with some legit teams contending for playoff spots. And finally, I'm going to jump ahead here. Baltimore Ravens. Now, injuries and defense, their defensive makeover, losing their defensive coordinator, really kind of kneecapped the Ravens in the first half of the season. Baltimore's defense 28th in EPA entering week 9, but they made a massive splash with the acquisition of Roquan Smith. And the Ravens get a mini bye off the win of Tampa on Thursday. They go to New Orleans on Monday Night Football. Then they have a bye and then a very easy stretch run ahead. So a healthy Ravens team is scary. And hopefully DC Mike McDonald can find an identity for this defense. And we'll fit one more in here. We'll go Atlanta Falcons, the NFC South leading Falcons. And this was the little team that could, at the opening 6 weeks of action, covering all 6 games to start 2022. But Atlanta has failed to cover the spread in its last 2 games, including what should have been a loss to Carolina on Sunday. This offense expected to get Swiss Army Knife Cordell Patterson back for Sunday's homestand with the Chargers, but this defense is buckling with injuries in the secondary. Before the start of the season, I had the Falcons as a play-on team during this stretch, as I believe they would struggle early on and then show some big promise as a big dog midway through the year. But now it kind of feels like the opposite. I'm almost wanting to go against them as they're going to see short spreads possibly be the betting chalk in many of these upcoming games against some bad teams. They play Carolina, Chicago, Washington, and Pittsburgh coming down the stretch right now. So the Falcons, a tough team to get a grasp on. I expect them to come back down and lose that handle of the division lead. 2 minute drill time. Eagles and Texans parallel the World Series matchup in the majors. I already talked about betting your Eagles Dell minus 13, but if you're scared of laying the lumber, you know, which is justified, then maybe you lay Eagles minus 6.5 in the first half. Now, Philly is the biggest first half offense in the land. They've amassed 147 total points in first halves this season. That's good for an average of 21 points per opening half, compared to only 49 total points in the second half. And that power outage may be a cause to pause when you're betting big chalk on Thursday night. Road chalk at that. Philadelphia runs the second fastest tempo in first halves this season. Could be even quicker if Sirianni slims his play sheet down here on the short week and leans into pace to take on what is a bad Texans team. Houston, among the worst run defenses in the land. They got bullied by the Titans, even though they knew what was coming on Sunday. And they're up against a deep and dynamic Eagles ground game that sits near the top in all those good analytics. And on top of that, this passing game for Philly continues to improve. Jalen Hurts, all his talented receiving corps, making teams pay for selling out to stop the run. A.J. Brown coming off that big 3-touchdown day, and he takes on a former AFC South foe. Now, defensively, Philadelphia's stop unit is the best defense Houston has taken on all season, namely this pass rush. Houston has some bodies dinged up front. Davis Mills has been under pressure at the sixth highest rate among QBs, and now he faces an Eagles attack that is up there in sacks, up there in pressure, and doesn't need to bring a lot of extra pass rushers to get that going. They can get pressure with just four. Philly, 5-2 ATS against full game lines this season, but a perfect 7-0 versus first half spreads heading into Thursday Night Football. Like I said, if you're wary of the big road fave on the short week, keep it simple. Philly, best first half offense versus one of the worst defenses out there. You can get this as low as minus 6.5, a little bit of push protection, minus 137 juice, but other shops, minus 7, minus 115 on the Eagles. So that's the pick. Eagles, first half, going to cover that spread on Thursday night. That is it for this episode of the Sharp 600. Thank you, Dell. Thank you for listening. Please rate and review the podcast when we get a sec. Always appreciate it. And we will talk to you on Friday. Wish you the best of luck. Until then.